production.
From The Monthly and Listener, it's The Politics. I'm Rachel Withers, and today, Mental Health Day. Former New South Wales Deputy Premier John Barilaro pulled out of today's hotly anticipated appearance at a parliamentary inquiry into his New York trade appointment, citing mental ill health. Speaking to reporters, New South Wales Mental Health Minister and Nationals Deputy Bronnie Taylor said the constant attention had affected Barilaro deeply, imploring people to put themselves in Barilaro's shoes. "I'm sorry to hear that Barilaro is experiencing mental ill health, but it is curious how the former Trade Minister's health issues seem to flare up whenever he faces scrutiny for his actions and go away when applying for lucrative international trade roles. I have no doubt that what Barilaro is going through right now is very distressing. It would be difficult to face consequences after years of gliding right past them, and it's clear that he truly sees himself as the victim in all this. But perhaps he might like to think twice next time before finagling his way into a high-profile, high-powered, highly remunerated role that has already been offered to someone else and is clearly going to attract great scrutiny." Looking at the news today, it was something of a contrast seeing Barilaro's struggles alongside some of the damning mental health stories making headlines. But Barilaro's plight is nevertheless a good chance to highlight the state of mental health care in a nation where the system is so clearly failing, as Sarah Krasnostein explored in her March quarterly essay. Guardian Australia has today published analysis showing more than 1,200 people with a mental impairment are being indefinitely detained without having been convicted of an offence, most often because they have been found unfit to plead or are found not guilty due to a mental impairment. These individuals often end up spending longer detained than they would have if found guilty. As Victorian Ombudsman Deborah Glass notes, to put someone who was maybe a danger to others into a prison environment, that is fundamentally not therapeutic and will be counterproductive. And yet it is happening in every state and territory, with Australia repeatedly delaying implementing changes to its detention regime required under the optional protocol to the Convention Against Torture. Speaking of detention, conditions in our youth detention centres are set to face international scrutiny, with the Australian Human Rights Commission warning that some centres are breaching international obligations. Writing in The Australian today, National Children's Commissioner Anne Hollands calls on the nation's attorney generals to consider why so many children in youth detention centres attempted suicide this year, and what is driving these young people to such desperation, noting that there were 20 such attempts at Perth's Banksia Hill facility in the first 6 months of this year alone. "Locking up children does not reduce crime," she writes, adding that community-based welfare approaches have been shown to be far more effective at reducing youth offending. "And yet Australia endures with its tough-on-crime approach," she writes, "while failing to prioritise child well-being in the design of our basic policy and service systems." Then, of course, there are the findings of the Royal Commission into Defence and Veteran Suicide Interim Report, which are devastating. Australia's veteran compensation scheme, the inquiry found, may actually contribute to the high suicide rate, with the system so complicated that it adversely affects the mental health of some veterans. The report takes aim at the Morrison government's dereliction of duty, slamming it over the lack of response and progress from June 2019 to mid-May 2020. There are, as the report noted, more than 50 previous reports and more than 750 recommendations on the topic that have not been acted upon, with the nation seemingly far more interested in paying tribute to the Anzacs at Gallipoli than in paying attention to the veterans who are living among us today. It is indeed a bleak day in mental health news. Another Indigenous Australian has died in custody in Port Phillip Prison in Melbourne's West, with Green Senator Lydia Thorpe urging privacy for the man's family. Teachers are crying out for help as education ministers hold a national roundtable to try to address the crisis in the sector, with crippling workloads accelerating the exodus of teachers. Waiting lists for mental health support are blowing out in regional South Australia, with a local government report finding that many are not receiving treatment. The list goes on. Hopefully, John Barilaro is able to get the help that he needs, so that he might soon be able to return to the inquiry and answer questions about the $500,000 a year role he thought he was deserving of, mere months after leaving politics. Perhaps in the interim, the New South Wales Mental Health Minister could find some time to comment on some of these other issues, as well as on her former colleague's struggles. Elsewhere in politics, we're starting with our good opinion of the day. South Australia Best MP Frank Pangiello, who is advocating for a Scottish family fighting deportation, questions former Home Affairs Minister Karen Andrews' contradictory calls for the Immigration Minister to intervene. As he said yesterday, "Well, that's nice of Karen Andrews, but it's a pity her previous minister, Alex Hawke, didn't express the same support when I wrote to him on a number of occasions." And in today's bad opinion, opposition leader Peter Dutton has refused to be drawn on his position on an Indigenous voice to Parliament, offering up repeated non sequiturs about practical action. As he said, when asked on 7:30 for his view on The Voice, "Well, I don't want you to just brush away the very legitimate concerns about practical support." As host Sarah Ferguson pointed out, The Voice and practical action are not mutually exclusive. Talking numbers, and 1 in 3 respondents have experienced harassment or bullying, according to a report into the New South Wales Parliament's toxic workplace culture. It found that 52% of bullying claims were allegedly perpetrated by MPs, along with 41% of sexual harassment incidents. And in today's policy, Attorney General Mark Dreyfus says the bill to establish a federal ICAC could be introduced in September's sitting. It comes as the nation's attorney generals meet to discuss a national approach to coercive control and affirmative consent, with advocates calling for them to also consider anti-stealthing laws. In today's episode of 7am, China has a message for Australia: be quiet and take the trade money. In a chilling speech, China's ambassador to Australia laid out his nation's aims with startling honesty, including that China would pursue what he called reunification with Taiwan at any cost. The reason he was sending that message has everything to do with US Speaker Nancy Pelosi's recent visit to Taiwan, which raised the threat of conflict in the region. Today, columnist for the Saturday paper, Paul Bongiorno, on China's message to Australia. Listen to 7am Now on the Listener app. And that is The Politics for Friday, August 12. Subscribe to The Politics on the Listener app to hear new episodes as soon as they drop. And head to themonthly.com.au to subscribe to The Politics newsletter, delivered straight to your inbox every weekday afternoon. I'm Rachel Withers, and I'll talk to you again next week.